I'm our Joe Bud Lower Hate. This is TheBealPod.com, The Week in Georgia in English, coming to you from our studios above San Francisco's lovely Fillmore Street. Today is Thursday, the 6th of March, 2014. Tons happened today. On this date in 1820, Monroe signed the Missouri Compromise, trying to strike a balance in the number of slave and free states. 1834, Toronto, Canada is incorporated. 1836, after 13 days of siege by the Army of Mexican troops, 187 Texas volunteers defending the Alamo are killed and the fort is captured. 1857, the Supreme Court rules in the Dred Scott case, allowing slave owners to take slaves into the newly settled West. It precipitated the American Civil War 4 years later. 1869, Dmitry Mendeleev presents the first periodic table to the Russian Chemical Society. 1899, in Berlin, Bayer patents aspirin. 1902, Real Madrid is founded. 1946, Ho Chi Minh signs an agreement with the French which recognizes Vietnam as an autonomous state in the Indochinese Federation and the French Union. 1951, the Rosenberg trial begins, and the Americans, who gave the Soviet Union the information they needed to make the bomb, go on trial. 1957, Ghana becomes the first sub-Saharan African country to gain independence from the British. Moving back 4 years. 1953, Georgi Malenkov succeeds Stalin for a few weeks before Khrushchev pushes him aside. By the way, you've probably heard amongst all the Crimean discussions the story about how Khrushchev gave Crimea to the Ukraine in 1954, since, of course, Khrushchev was Ukrainian. Sometimes it was said when he was drunk. Yeah, well, that's not true and was completely made up. In 1964, the Nation of Islam's Elijah Muhammad officially gives boxing champion Cassius Clay the name Muhammad Ali. 1967, Joseph Stalin's daughter, Svetlana Aliluyeva, defects to the United States. 1983, Helmut Kohl is elected West German Chancellor. 2001, Napster starts to try to enforce a copyright decision and precipitates its own death. Birthdays today are in 1475, Michelangelo, in 1906, Lou Costello of Abbott and Costello, 1926, Alan Greenspan of the Fed, 1928, Gabriel Garcia Marquez of A Bunch of Books, 1937, Russian cosmonaut Valentina Tereshkova, in 1947, funny man Rob Reiner. Georgia O'Keeffe died 8 years ago today, and fantastic movie director Tengiz Abuladze died 20 years ago today. If you have not seen his classic Repentance, pause to BealPod.com right now, find it on YouTube. The entire movie is free, all in one piece, and watch it. It is brilliant and a gap in your education. And today is the International Day of the Dude. If you'd like to comment on our blog or ask a question, go to TabealPod.com or send us an email at TabealPod@gmail.com. To subscribe to the podcast, go to TabealPod.com, scroll down the screen, and on the right-hand side below the column of tags, there's a little rectangular icon that says iTunes. Click it, and you'll get the new TabealPod episodes. If you still have trouble, let us know by posting a comment on our website or emailing us. We want to be sure we are well set up on iTunes as well, so that any iTunes problems we have, let us know. After the Russian Duma authorized President Vladimir Putin to send military forces into the Crimea, President Georgi Margvelashvili issued a statement that Russian actions contradict the founding documents of the UN and the OSCE and endanger Ukraine's territorial integrity. According to the Georgian Ministry of Foreign Affairs statement, Russian aggression began the same way in Georgia in 2008, and Russian forces remain in South Ossetia and Abkhazia despite its international obligation to withdraw troops. Misha spoke on CNN, Al Jazeera, and Fox about the crisis in Ukraine and advised Ukrainians to exercise restraint but prepare for the worst. Misha said that Putin is the richest corrupt person in the world, and Putin mocked the entire world by denying that there are Russian troops in Crimea. He also highlighted the similarities between Georgia in 2008 and Ukraine. Kiev Patriarch Filaret called Russia an occupier and said that Putin should be punished both for what he is doing in Ukraine and also for what he has done in Georgia. The former Georgian ambassador to the U.S., Batu Kutelia, said on CNN that the only way to provide security to Ukraine and Georgia is NATO integration. On the 2nd of March, hundreds of people protested the Russian military presence in Ukraine outside the Ukrainian embassy in Tbilisi. Later, the crowd crossed the street to the former Russian embassy, where they protested the Russian Duma's resolution to allow military intervention in Ukraine. On the same day, two organizations, A Priori and DROA, organized a demonstration in downtown Tbilisi to support Ukraine. They walked from the Metechi Palace Hotel to the Bridge of Peace, holding Ukrainian flags and anti-Russia posters. UNM named two candidates for the primary to decide the party's nomination for Tbilisi mayor in the local election scheduled for the 15th of June. The candidates are UNM Member of Parliament Gio Vashadze and Governor of Old Tbilisi District Nika Melia. Vashadze was Deputy Justice Minister between 2010 and 2012. Melia chaired the National Bureau of Enforcement before the 2012 parliamentary elections. Tbilisi Mayor Gigi Ugulava, who was suspended from his post in December, said that he is not going to run for mayor of Tbilisi because he believes that one person should not become chained to a single office. On the 4th of March, U.S. Deputy Secretary of State Heather Higginbotham presented 12 extraordinary women from 10 countries with the 2014 International Women of Courage Award. First Lady Michelle Obama joined the ceremony as a special guest. Among the awardees were Bishop Rusudan Gotsiridze from the Evangelical Baptist Church of Georgia. Bishop Rusudan spoke at the 2013 TEDx Tbilisi event. This award recognizes women around the globe who demonstrate exceptional courage and leadership in advocating peace, justice, human rights, gender equality, and women's empowerment, often at great personal risk. On the 4th of March, European Commissioner Stefan Füle visited Georgia and held meetings with President Margvelashvili, Prime Minister Garibashvili, Foreign Minister Panjikidze, representatives of NGOs, and Ilya II. He spoke about the content and importance of the EU Association Agreement. He said the EU doesn't demand that Georgia legalize same-sex marriage. He said the only requirement linked with visa liberalization is to pass an anti-discrimination law which guarantees that people are treated equally regardless of sex, race, nationality, and sexual orientation. Ilya II said during the meeting with Füle that the church will do everything to help Georgia become an EU member. President of the European Commission, José Manuel Barroso, will visit Georgia in June. On the 3rd of March, several hundred people protested near the border with South Ossetia, which is an administrative boundary line and not a border, just so you know, anyway, to highlight that Russia has resumed installing barbed wire, which is their favorite occupation in that area on Georgian territory, by the way. The rally was organized via Facebook. On the 26th of February, Russian soldiers started installing warning signs and barbed wire in the village of Rogreti near Kareli. As a reminder, in September 2013, Russian soldiers began moving barbed wire fences deeper into Georgian territory, overstepping the ABL by hundreds of meters in the villages of Ditsi and Dvani. On the 28th of February, Emzar Kvitsiani was detained at the Tbilisi airport. He's accused of organizing a mutiny in the Kodori Gorge and has been wanted since 2006. Tbilisi City Court ordered him to be placed in pretrial detention. As a reminder, Kvitsiani was a trustee in Kodori Gorge under Shevardnadze and the leader of a paramilitary group called Hunter, originally created to protect the local population from Abkhaz forces in 1992. Under Misha in 2004, the government abolished his position and in 2005 disbanded Hunter. In 2006, Kvitsiani rearmed Hunter with about 200 people and announced he would resist any government attempt to disarm his group. In response, the government conducted a special operation in July 2006 and disarmed most of his supporters, but Kvitsiani fled too. Russia, of course. His sister, Nora Kvitsiani, was detained during this operation and served a jail sentence for illegally purchasing and keeping a weapon and participating in setting up an illegal paramilitary group. In December 2012, after the change of government, she was released. Now she wants to be declared a former political prisoner and demands compensation for the years she spent in jail. On the 27th of February, Tbilisi City Court found Vano Merabashvili guilty of exceeding official power in the 26th of May case. The court sentenced Vano to 6 years in prison, which will be reduced to 4 years and 6 months because of the amnesty law. He was acquitted of an additional charge of defaming the dignity of a victim. As a reminder, Vano was already sentenced to 4 years and 3 months for bribing voters and violating property rights. The court will determine if these two sentences will be served concurrently or consecutively. Medvedev also faces additional criminal charges involving alleged abuse of office in connection with Sandro Ghirvliani's murder case in 2006. After the court's announcement, Medvashvili's opponents and supporters fought outside the court. Police detained four people. On the 27th of February, the French court decided not to extradite the former defense minister, Dato Kazadashvili. They removed the electronic bracelet, which he wore in lieu of pretrial detention. The prosecutor's office said that they will continue working to bring Kazadashvili back to Georgia. As a reminder, he was detained in France at the request of the Georgian government. There are two criminal cases against him. He's accused of threatening businessman Joseph K. to give up shares of Imedi TV for 10 million lari. He's also accused of accepting bribes to help alcohol smugglers avoid taxes. The threatening of Joseph K. is hysterical because Joseph K.'s whole point was to take that stuff away from Badri Patrikhatashvili and then give it back, and Joseph K. didn't want to give it back, and so Kazadashvili said, you better. Former mayor of Batumi, Gheorghe Abashidze, son of the former head of Ajada's government, Aslan Abashidze, arrived in Georgia. He said he does not have any political ambitions. Gheorghe Abashidze left Georgia with his father in 2004. Hastily, he has not been in Georgia for 10 years. U.S. Department of State issued the 2013 Country Report on Human Rights. According to Georgia's report, the most important human rights problems of 2013 were the resignation and dismissal of government employees from local government institutions, allegedly for their association with UNM. It was for their association with the UNM. Increased societal violence against members of the LGBT community and local government interference with religious minorities' rights to assemble and worship freely. On the 1st of March, people gathered outside the Chancellery in Tbilisi and demanded better protection for workers' rights. The demonstration was in response to several ongoing strikes in Georgia. In Kazreti, the entire village is protesting against a mass firing of gold mine workers. In Chiatuta, hundreds are on strike against harsh labor conditions and low pay in the coal mines. Firefighters are also on strike in Tbilisi and claim that their boss is corrupt. The demonstrators outside the Chancellery demand that the health ministry act as a mediator and resolve these labor rights disputes. Some members of Georgian Lawyers Association demand that the chair be dismissed. That's the Bar Association. They claim that Zaza Khatiashvili is a UNM supporter. They also claim he sent a letter to Putin asking for financing, an allegation which Khatiashvili denies. As a reminder, he has been chairman of the association for several years and was reelected a few months ago. Can any lawyers listening shed some light on this to report back? Is this just a leadership struggle or what's really going on here? On the 3rd of March, a 58-member state commission tasked with amending the Constitution before September 2014 had its first session. Parliament Speaker Dato Uzubashvili is chair. Five issue-based working groups were set up within the commission. Each focuses on a specific area of the Constitution, checks and balances between branches of government, human rights, courts, the prosecutor's office, and some other state institution. National Security Council, the National Bank, the Public Defender's Office, and the State Audit Service. As well as territorial administrative arrangements, local self-governments, general constitutional provisions, and rules for amending the Constitution. How excellent that this is happening this way. On the 6th of February 2014, Zura Adeshvili and Misha Saakashvili illegally shoved through the old terrified parliament a constitutional overhaul in 2 days. It was a sad day and precipitated the UNM's complete disregard not only for the Constitution specifically, but for the rule of law in general. I am proud to have been the only foreigner to have criticized the move publicly on TV at the time, something that ended what had been a close relationship with the UNM leadership. Former Deputy Minister of Culture Marina Mizandari's lawyer filed a lawsuit against the Prime Minister and Culture Minister in Tbilisi City Court. The lawsuit demands that she be reinstated at her former post. As a reminder, on the 10th of February, the Prime Minister dismissed Deputy Minister of Culture Marina Mizandari because she was reportedly insubordinate and failed to comply with instructions. Mizandari said the controversy is over and her disagreeing with the minister on several issues, including the Sakdrisi gold mine case and human resources policy at the ministry. Following up on the group of protesters in Vake Park who opposed the City Hall's decision to permit the hotel to be built in the park's grounds, guerrilla gardening activists are camped out in Vake Park to protest Tiflis Development's construction of a hotel on the territory where Budapest Restaurant formerly was. In 2013, the former mayor of Tbilisi, Guy Ugulava, gave Tiflis Development a permit for the hotel. acting mayor of Tbilisi, Sevdia Ugrakhelidze, says that this location never belonged to Vake Park. On the 2nd of March, Studio Monitor, a group of investigative journalists, a fantastic group of investigative journalists, published a video which revealed official documents showing that Budapest Restaurant was originally a part of Vake Park. In 1998, 50% of Budapest Restaurant's shares were sold to the family of Shevardnadze's brother. After the privatization, Tbilisi City Hall changed the address of the restaurant to be outside the park. In addition, participants of guerrilla gardening are protesting the construction of a restaurant near Turtle Lake. According to them, it is illegal to build any building in the recreational area. Every Tbilpod.com listener owes the guerrilla gardeners a great debt for protecting Tbilisi public lands. According to UNICEF, the number of children living below the poverty line in Georgia increased by 2% over the last 2 years. In terms of deaths of children under the age of 5, Georgia is the third highest nation in Europe and Central Asia. In addition, two-thirds of Georgian children under 15 do not have sufficient knowledge and skills in reading, mathematics, and science, the worst results in all of Europe. If you'll remember from our reports way back when, UNM Education Minister Dima Shashkin prevented Georgia from participating in the international PISA tests in order to conceal Georgia's worsening results. He was too focused on pushing Mondeteurs through schools. It's all come out now, as we can see. Beginning on the 1st of March 2014, a driver's license will be issued for a specified period between 5 and 15 years, depending on the category of license. Driver's license issued before the 1st of March 2014 now automatically have expiration dates depending on their category and when they were issued. After the expiration, drivers can get a new license after they submit a health certificate. Israel Airlines will return to the Georgian market in April. The company left the Georgian market in October due to less busy winter season. Georgia's foreign trade turnover in January 2014 was 15% more than in 2013. Georgia's top trade partners are Turkey, Azerbaijan, China, and Russia. Used cars is the top export product once again, followed by ferro alloys and nitrogen fertilizer. Used cars were also the number one imported product in January, followed by petroleum gas and other gaseous hydrocarbons. Minister of Agriculture of Ajada, Zaur Pitkhuradze, is meeting with various country representatives to discuss the building of a local honey inspection laboratory to facilitate honey exports. Pitkhuradze says that Georgia has a 200-ton quota on honey export to Turkey. According to Geostat, the annual inflation rate was 3.5% annualized in February, up from 3% in January. BI is ranked number 270 in Forbes magazine's annual list of the world's billionaires, with an estimated worth of $5 billion. His wealth in last year's list was estimated at a similar level, but he ranked 229th. According to Forbes, there are 1,600 billionaires around the world. A Georgian church on top of a cliff was ranked second on the list of most incredible cliff buildings in the world by theworldgeography.com. The Church of Katsuhi Pillar, built in the 5th century in western Georgia's Imereti region, abruptly rises 40 meters above the hills. The pillar was first mentioned in historical recordings in the 18th century. In parliamentary news, public defender Uche Nanuashvili joined Georgian Young Lawyers, TI Georgia, ISFED or Fair Elections, OSGF or Soros, and UNM in calling the government not to enact a law that would suspend all public servants employed in the local government self-government bodies across the country immediately after the local elections on the 15th of June. According to the legislative amendment passed by the parliament on the 5th of February, all public servants of the local authorities will be suspended after local elections. They will continue to serve as interim pending the filling of vacant posts through the competitive application process. On the 24th of February, Gigi Ugulava said that after local elections, the Georgian Dream Coalition wants to kick out public servants in municipalities and replace them with its activists. He is, of course, right. That's exactly the idea. In Kvitis Azarebi this week, on the 2nd of March, Dato Bukrikidze spoke about worker strikes in Kazreti and Chiatura. According to him, firefighters are on a hunger strike in Tbilisi, and workers are on strike in Kazreti and Chiatura, but nobody cares about them. He says that the current government is deaf. He criticized Margvelashvili for paying more attention to art than workers' rights. Last week, Margvelashvili hosted an art exhibition in the former president's palace. A second Fides Azrebi this week, on the 1st of March, Idakli Tabliashvili praised the government for the recent meetings in the U.S. He added, "We should ensure the government does not slow down the process of Euro-Atlantic integration." According to him, it is also good that Margvelashvili visits occupied villages. He added that the MPs who said that we should not irritate Russia blame Putin for the Ukrainian crisis. We should say the truth that Russia has always had the same policy. Tabliashvili discusses Georgian media and says that the media pays more attention to scandalous topics. It would be better if global political issues were discussed instead of scandals. He says Georgian media should tell people that our children's place is in Europe. The meme this week, a photo of President Georgi Margvelashvili in his office space at his home in Dushetti. The photo became popular on Facebook with many shares and comments about how Soviet-looking the space is. UNM Member of Parliament Goga Khachidze posted the photo side-by-side with Stalin's office space to show how similar the office looked. We will post this to the forum. An article entitled "Crimean Crisis" should be read. Three Lessons from the Caucasus by Tom Duvall. The author draws parallels between Ukraine and the 2008 war in Georgia. He says that the conflict in the Caucasus, including the 2008 war, were avoidable. Many people still use the phrase "Russia invaded Georgia in August 2008," but that was in fact only the last in a whole sequence of actions. According to the author, a panicky Georgian leader, Misha, attacked first, and the Russian army responded a few hours later, soon escalating this into a broader, brutal attack on Georgia as a whole. Some Western commentators argue that the West needs to make a preemptive response to Putin's supposed plans to annex Crimea and Ukraine. The author argues that Putin's main goal is to maintain the Black Sea naval base in Sevastopol at all costs. An article by Josh Rogan focusing on Misha's thoughts about the crisis in Ukraine. According to the author, there are several similarities between Russia's 2008 invasion of Georgia and its 2012 invasion of Ukraine, and one main difference. Russia has yet to cross militarily into greater Ukraine outside Crimea and wage a full-scale invasion of the country as it did in Georgia. But Misha said he sees plenty of signs that's exactly what Putin plans to do next. According to Misha, there may be no way to stop Vladimir Putin from starting a hot war with Ukraine, so Ukraine and its Western allies must prepare for the worst and do it quickly. Article by Giga Bokhedi in Foreign Policy. According to him, the Georgian government is following Viktor Yanukovych's footsteps. He argues that there is a need for a strong response to Vladimir Putin's continued attempts to undermine the sovereignty of Russia's neighbors. Khatabashvili said the former ruling party cannot be accepted as legitimate opposition, and that it should disappear from Georgia's political landscape. Just like Yanukovych, the new government of Georgia has defended its actions by citing the need to strengthen the rule of law and address alleged past crimes. According to Bokhedia, and the Kremlin's influence thrives in transitional and new democracies because the nature of these countries have relatively weak party systems and institutions of political accountability. This was exactly what happened in Yanukovych's Ukraine. An article by TI Georgia about the Georgian Post. The Ministry of Economy developed a draft law in the Postal Service to introduce a new regulatory framework in the postal sector. The draft law envisions the introduction of state regulation. TI Georgia has analyzed the draft and found serious incongruities between the regulations proposed under the draft and the current Georgian legislation. A post by Dustin Gilbreth in CRC's blog about health in the South Caucasus. The blog post explores perceptions of health, economic well-being, as well as whether a household limits its consumption of beef as one of the many indicators related to the household's economic situation. All things to read to be posted on our forum. This week's GeoCapital number is $86, which is the minimum cost of living in Georgia, according to eastbook.eu. Eastbook.eu publishes the minimum consumer basket cost in Eastern Partnership countries and concluded that the level of living means the level of surviving. The minimum consumer basket cost depends on the minimum wage of a person able to work and equals $125 in Ukraine. Living wage in Moldova is $110, according to which Moldovans can go somewhere only by trolley bus. All other means of transportation are a luxury. The living wage in Armenia and Azerbaijan is $80 and $164, respectively. The living wage in Belarus is 1 million rubles, which is about $120. This week's English language movie at the Rustaveli Movie Theater across from Parliament are on Sunday, the 8th of March at 10:30 p.m. and Wednesday, the 12th of February at 8:45 p.m. Monuments Men. From the 7th until the 13th of March at the National Parliamentary Library, we'll host an exhibition, Women's Civic Activism in the Period 1988 to 1991, by Nazi Gabiadze. UN Women organized the event. The address is 7 Lado Gudiashvili Street, Tbilisi, near Kashveti. On the 12th of March, one of Turkey's most prominent and successful writers and the winner of the 2006 Nobel Prize in Literature, Orhan Pamuk, is coming to Georgia. He will attend the Week of Modern Literature and will hold public lectures. People interested in Pamuk's lecture can watch him speak on live stream at Ilya Uni's website. This is a very big deal. Anybody who sees him speak, please let us know. We'd be interested to hear a report. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is spielpod@gmail.com, or post to the forum on our website, www.spielpod.com. And we will finish with Running Bear by Johnny Preston, 1959.
On the bank of the river stood Running Bear, young Indian brave. On the other side of the river stood his lovely Indian maid. Little White Dove was her name. Such a lovely sight to see. But their tribes fought with each other, so their love could never be. Running Bear, love little White Dove with a love big as the sky. Running Bear, love little White Dove with a love that couldn't die. He couldn't swim the raging river, 'cause the river was too wide. He couldn't reach little White Dove waiting on the other side. In the moonlight he could see her throwing kisses across the waves. Her little heart was beating faster, waiting there for her brave. Running Bear, love little White Dove with a love big as the sky. Running Bear, love little White Dove with a love that couldn't die. Running Bear dove in the water, little White Dove did the same. And they swam out to each other, through the swirling stream they came. As their hand touched and their lips met, the raging river pulled them down. Now they'll always be together in that happy hunting ground. Running Bear, love little White Dove with a love big as the sky. Running Bear, love little White Dove with a love that couldn't die.